From the Utah School Counselors Association, this is The Sounding Board, where school counselors share ideas. I'm Nate Webb, school counselor, USCA board member, and every week I'll be speaking with different counselors and professionals that will be giving us valuable information in our counseling world. We cannot wait for you to hear these ideas. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to The Sounding Board from the Utah School Counselors Association. We are back with yet another amazing episode for you guys, but first, make sure you go and hit that subscribe button on Spotify or Apple Podcasts so you don't miss any of our weekly episodes. Esteemed counselors and friends, how the heck are you? Every week, the school year draws closer and closer to being over. We are in the middle of April. We only have about a month left, a little over a month, 5 weeks. That goes so fast. And then it's done. And so that's crazy. It's crazy. We're wrapping up. Today, I'm here to talk about college. If you've been here for a second, you know that I'm not exactly a super fan of the current college system, and know that I'm a big fan of technical colleges, trade schools, blue-collar jobs, because they land kids with very profitable jobs and careers without having to waste money, without having to waste tuition and things like that. I've done whole episodes on the matter, but the truth is, traditional college has its place in our modern day society. It does. And there are so many jobs, ours as counselors included, that require a college degree, that are very important. Our teachers, our doctors, our lawyers, our counselors, we all need college degrees. So today I want to talk about the cost of college and what students can expect to make in some of the most popular majors, so people can decide for themselves if it's worth it for them. Because as a school counselor, that's our job. Give our kids all the correct and accurate info and then let them make an informed decision. So first off, let's talk about cost. Okay, for simplicity's sake, we're just going to talk about tuition. And we're going to talk about tuition in Utah, in-state tuition. We're not going to talk about housing. That's a whole other beast. And thankfully, for a lot of colleges, off-campus housing is really affordable. I lived off-campus when I went to Utah State. I had really affordable housing. On-campus housing, obviously, is more expensive. Sometimes there's meals plans that you have to get for on-campus housing, which some people can do, especially if they're on scholarship, but a lot of people can't, like I couldn't. And so I did off-campus housing, and so it was really affordable. So for simplicity's sake, we're just going to talk about tuition. I'm just going to talk about all the major Utah colleges, and I think I got them all. You can let me know in the comments if I didn't, but so BYU, Brigham Young University, that's $6,500 a year. So if you get a four-year degree, that's $26,000. Utah State is $9,000 a year and rising. That is, if you get a four-year degree, again, that's $36,000. University of Utah, that's $9,000 a year, so $36,000 again. Utah Tech, used to be known as Dixie, that is $6,000 a year, so $24,000 for a four-year degree. UVU, $6,000 again, so $24,000. And SUU is $6,500, so that's $26,000. For a four-year degree. Ensign College, that's a two-year university. It used to be known as LDS Business College. That's only $3.7K, which is $7.4K if you do your full 2 years there. Snow College is $4,000, which is $8,000 because it's 2 years, because it's a community college, so it's associate's degree only. And then Salt Lake Community College is the same. And so it's pretty plain to see that community colleges are far more affordable than traditional universities. And actually, it's a really smart choice to go to a community college, at least at first. Did you know that students can attend the community college like Snow College and Slick and then transfer to a university like Utah State University after they graduate? And Utah State will only look at their college grades. The university they're transferring to will only look at the grades from their community college, which is still college, look at those college grades, and then determine merit-based scholarships they can apply for based off of the good grades in college, not the high school marks or the ACT, which is old, and I'm happy it's not being used as much. For example, my little sister, she went to Snow College right after high school. It was half the cost. It made sense. She had good scholarships to Snow College, and so she went there. She worked her tiny off big time. She worked so hard and got a 4.0, got good grades, got good scholarships to transfer to Utah State. And fun fact, merit-based scholarships are automatic. You don't have to apply for them. You don't have to, you just get them. They give them to you when you get accepted to the university. So my little sister, she worked hard at Snow. She got a 4.0. She transferred to Utah State, got a bunch of merit-based scholarships and other scholarships because Snow College and Utah State work really well together. They work together, actually. Snow used to be part of Utah State. Actually, fun fact, you can look it up. But anyway, and so when she transferred to Utah State, because of those scholarships, she actually had more scholarships than the cost of tuition. So she was in the unique position of being paid to go to college. Not a bad gig at all. And a lot of people bash community colleges because they think that it is a discounted education because of the discounted cost. But it is not at all. It's a really smart decision. You know, a premium education for a fraction of the cost and an opportunity for a lot of economically disadvantaged populations to gain entry into universities they would not stand a chance getting into elsewise. And so now, if you're not on scholarship, that's still a lot of money. I mean, if you're not on scholarship going to a community college, $8,000, where are you going to get that? How are you going to get that? You also need to look into what you're going to be studying to see if the return on investment, the ROI, is going to be worth it. Now, a lot of community colleges like SLIC, Salt Lake Community College, and Snow College, and Ensign College, they are very generous with their scholarships. They're really generous with their scholarships. And it makes it so kids usually, like 90% of the time, they're not paying full price going to those schools. They're also not paying a whole lot on housing because those schools are located in areas that it's very easy to commute to. And the housing situation is a lot more affordable. Some of them have dorms and things like that that they offer. But yeah, don't bash community colleges because they're a really, really smart decision. We have some people who, you know, they graduate, they go to their four-year degree, go to their four-year university, end up with, I don't know, let's say you go to BYU, right? And then you end up with $26,000 of student loans if you don't have a scholarship. Let's say you did have a scholarship where you had full tuition for for 2 years. Okay, so that still lands you with $13,000 of debt that you need to pay off now. Versus someone who, in the same field, goes to community college, goes to Snow College, which is $8,000, gets full tuition, or let's say gets half tuition. Let's say they don't even get a good scholarship. They get half tuition for the full time, so they only pay $4,000. And then because of the good grades and everything that they get, they're able to go to Utah State or another place. Oh, sorry, that's a yawn. First yawn, yawn marker, number one. They're able to go to Utah State for free. And so now they paid $4,000. $4,000 is a lot more manageable to pay and not have to get a loan, and is far more manageable than $26,000 for a bachelor's degree, or even $13,000, or whatever it might be. And so, yeah, don't bash the community colleges because they are making it financially possible for people to go to college. I see a lot of actually TikToks where people are like, I got to go to the university of my dream, la-di-da-di-da. And then it's like crushing hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt because like housing and everything else. While other people who went to community college first are like, I'm not actually. I'm in a pretty good financial place. So don't bash the community colleges because they're great. Now, it's still a lot of money, right? Going to university, even more money. If you're not on scholarship, whew, that's a lot of money. And so you got to look into what you are studying, like I said, to see if the ROI, aka return on investment, is going to be worth your time and money. A lot of degrees, they don't offer enough money to pay back your debt. In fact, actually, you know what's crazy? The degrees that require you to take out the most debt for a bachelor's degree, coincidentally, are also the degrees who offer the least return on investment. right? You're like your liberal arts majors, your your dance theories, or, you know, some of these outlandish majors that exist that cost a lot of money that do not have a return on investment. I'm going to tell you the ones that do have a big return on investment. That's going to land you with a multiple figure income that you can actually live on with just a bachelor's. There's just a few from a simple internet search. I'm sure there's many, many more. But electrical engineering, that's base pay starting around $106,000 a year. Computer science, entry level $75K. Once you're there for a bit, it gets up to 100 plus. Mechanical engineering, $90K. Civil engineering, $90K. Engineering in general, hovering, you know, there's a lot of jobs around there, 675 to 85K. Economics, 80 to 90K. Accounting, 70 to 80K. That's all of those, you can get a bachelor's degree and have a livable wage. Now, other majors offer a very small window of opportunity, but with further education, more doors can be opened. For example, psychology. You really cannot do much with a bachelor's degree in psychology. I know it because I got a bachelor's degree in psychology and I had to get a master's in order to make enough money to take care of my growing family. Okay. I have a master's degree, right? My first job straight out of my master's degree, was a school counselor, because that's what I got my master's in. That's what we are, right? And my starting salary as a counselor was less than the starting salary of my sister-in-law, who is going to be a teacher now. And I did far more schooling and paid a lot more in tuition. Obviously, just because college is stupid expensive and a lot of majors don't offer high-paying entry levels doesn't mean you can't get to where you want to go. Okay, for me, for example, I did not have scholarships. I did not have money to pay for college. And I went to Utah State. I did not go to a community college first. So at the time, I was paying about $6,000 a year. I had some savings from high school. I worked two jobs. I was a lifeguard and I was a dish boy at a local restaurant. And so combined with those two, you know, I had about $9,000 in reserve for when I went to college. And so it paid for about the first year. But heading into the summer after my first year of college, I'm like, okay, this is kind of crunch time. I don't got nothing. What can I do? And one of my friends introduced me to a job over the summer called door-to-door sales. I sold pest control for a company in Oklahoma, knocking door-to-door, selling pest control contracts, and then I got a percentage of each pest control contract that I sold. Commission jobs. Oh, the hated commission jobs, right? No guaranteed hourly pay. The only pay you get is when you make sales. Well, a lot of these jobs are looked down upon big time. Big stigma with them. People hate door-to-door salesmen, the no soliciting signs, everything. Well, I did not suck at door-to-door sales. My very first summer, I made about almost $20,000. So that was enough to more than pay for the next year of college. It was actually enough to pay for college. It was enough to pay for my wife's engagement ring because I got engaged after that summer. And it was enough to pay for everything else. I did not work during that school year. I donated plasma, which did supply me with money, which I spent on groceries. And that enabled me to save more of my money that I got from pest control. But I definitely needed to keep on working during the summers. And so I kept on going. My third summer, I made, sorry, I apologize if you guys can hear, my baby is not happy in the background. 1-year-olds are amazing. My third summer, I made $70,000. I was able to make more than enough to pay for all three of our degrees, right? My bachelor's, my wife's bachelor's, she got a bachelor degree in secondary ed for English, and then my master's as well. I was able to pay for all three of those degrees with the money I got from selling pest control. Now, I did not just sell for 3 years. No, I sold pest control for 8 years. And if you're thinking, wait a minute, the math's not mathing. Yes, the math is mathing. I only stopped selling pest control last year. That's it. I kept on doing it, even while I was a school counselor, because it helped me to save money. And so anyway, kids need to be aware of this info, because if I didn't have summer sales, I would have not been able to do what I did. I would have not been able to get a master's. I would have had to get so many school loans. I would have had hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt by the time I graduated with my master's, and we would not be plugging away at that debt very fast at all. But because of summer sales, I didn't have to get loans. Because of summer sales, we were able to save. And because of that, we were able to do so many other things financially. We were able to pay off both of our vehicles. We are debt-free except for our home, which we purchased after I got my master's degree, which, let me tell you right now, the housing market is crazy. We feel so blessed that we were even able to get a house. And a lot of that is because I was open-minded enough to look at some unconventional ways that are not seen as legit. Well, they are now, but they weren't at the time. And so I feel like kids need to be aware of this kind of info. How much training and schooling will you need before you get the job with a livable wage? With your interests, with your hobbies, with the things you love to do, what kind of jobs are available that can make you a livable wage? I mean, if you need a master's or a PhD or something, how are you going to fund that? And no, don't tell me, oh, loans. Loans are the right answer. No, they are not. Government subsidized loans are the worst. It baffles me that we allow 17-year-old graduates of high school to take out loans adding up to, over the years, hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of their college education. And yet we will not give people loans for a home once they get that job. I'm not about that life. And so you need to think about how you're going to fund it. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that sometimes loans are inevitable. My older brother, he is a pharmacist over in Roosevelt. And he had some academic scholarships heading into college, but not much. And so he worked as a pharmacist technician all throughout college, all throughout his PhD, his pharmacy school, which is the equivalent of med school. And he was a pharmacy technician, which paid decent. It was about $20 plus an hour, $25 an hour. He made a lot of money for that, and that helped out a lot. But he still had about $50,000 worth of loans in the long run. But because of his career that he chose, which was a pharmacist, he was making six figures entry level. And so he was able to very aggressively attack that debt, and he paid it off within the first year of him working as a pharmacist. And so you need to think about that stuff. In the end, college education, it has its place. Kids still need continued education, and certain careers require traditional college. They do. Like I said before, your lawyers, your doctors, your pharmacists, right? Your teachers, your educators, your principals, your counselors, you know, certain fields do require traditional college degrees. However, there are an increasing amount of viable careers that do not require your traditional college degree. Careers that are fulfilling and lucrative. The internet in general, social media, it has opened up so many opportunities for wealth and learning. And we need to stop being ignorant and brushing off all the kids who tell us they want to be a YouTuber and want to be with social media. Because guess what? It could happen. We need to be open-minded enough to show kids the steps they need to take to be successful with that path. I had a kid came up to me, because we automatically assume those kids are lazy, right? I want to be a TikToker. I want to be a social media influencer. I want to be a YouTuber. A lot of kids indicate today they want to be a YouTuber because they watch a lot of YouTube, which I don't like that as much, actually. But that's a whole nother can of beans. A kid came up to me. He's like, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to stream video games. And I want to make a living playing video games. I'm like, okay, cool, 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 cool. So you want to be a YouTuber. That is running your own business. And so you need to know about marketing. You need to know about finance. You need to know about accounting. You need to know about SEO, search engine optimization, all that stuff. You need to learn about entrepreneurship. And, you know, just everything business related. And you need to learn about videography. You need to learn about editing software. And once we went through all the steps, he's like, oh my goodness, this is actually a lot of work. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Yes, it is a lot of work. That is the whole point. YouTubers work incredibly hard to get the views to make so much money that they make. They work incredibly hard. And a lot of people discount it because it is YouTube, it is the internet, and it is not conventional. And so once I helped the kid see that how much work it was going to be, he's like, maybe I should take some classes at our local technical college about business, dip my toes in the water in other things, and see what interests me most. I'm like, I think that's a wonderful plan. I think it's a wonderful plan. It's low cost. You still get to take classes to teach you viable, marketable skills that can give you a certificate afterwards so you're marketable for employment. And it also gives you the skills needed to push forward with your dreams. That is what we need to be doing as school counselors. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a perfect counselor. I could probably talk more about traditional universities with some of my kids. But as counselors, we need to talk. If our kids come to us with a dream, they want to do something, we need to help give them the details on how to get it done so they can know what is it going to cost? How much time is it going to cost you? How much money is it going to cost you? And then they can decide for themselves if it is worth it. So hopefully you found some value in this episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sounding Board from the Utah School Counselors Association. Please go give us a review and share this episode if you found it some value in it. It really helps more educators see our awesome content. I hope you all have a wonderful day and a wonderful school year. And I will see you on the next one. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Sounding Board. Email The Sounding Board at utschoolcounselor.org to send us your questions and ideas. If you like our podcast, please rate and review our show. It helps other school counselors to find us. Links and additional information for any references from today's episode are in our show notes. Check out our website at utschoolcounselor.org where you can listen to past podcast episodes, register for any of our professional development opportunities, and become a member of the Utah School Counselors Association. USCA members also receive a bi-monthly newsletter to stay up to date on current Utah school counseling news, events, and issues. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Utah School Counselor and on Twitter at USCA Tweets. The mission of the Utah School Counselors Association is to support professional school counselors in their work for students through advocacy, professional development, recognition, and support. This podcast would not be possible without the support of our members. We'll have more ideas to share with you next week. Let's go!